Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I greet you in Jesus' wonderful name. I'm so glad you're able to join me for the broadcast today. And as I was seeking the Lord as to what He would have me share today, as well as the remainder of this week, He wants me to share on walking in truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And that we're to continue in His words, continue in His truth. And while I love for the Lord to be able to use me to bring comfort and encouragement to God's people, also, this ministry is committed to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world. That's been our slogan ever since Brother Glass founded the ministry in 1965. And so, not only words of God's love and God's comfort, but also, beloved, we are living in evil days, and we're to be sober-minded. We're to redeem the time. The days are evil. So we need to walk soberly, and we need, especially as there is so much, so many things around us to distract us, detract us, detour us from that straight and narrow way, we have to apply ourselves, especially concerning our spiritual state, our spiritual walk. And of course, if our spiritual walk is where it should be, then all the other areas of our life will fall in place and line up. So I'm going to share a message entitled Walking in Truth, and another subtitle, if you would be Avoiding Self-Deception. Now, self-deception is a characteristic of the wicked. In Psalm 49, verses 12 through 15, I'll share that with you, but basically the heart of that thought is, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." You know, even in our Christian circles, it's very possible to have a certain amount of prestige, a reputation, to be well liked, to be well thought of, to be well known. And yet, if that man is in honor and understandeth not, what does the scripture say that I just shared with you? They're like the beasts that perish. And I don't have to recall to memory those of in recent decades, large ministries that have tumbled and fallen because there was a measure of self-delusion there. There was self-deception. And so this is a subject that has fascinated me greatly, because the thing about when you're self-deceived, if you're deceived, you don't know it. That's one of the characteristics. And how can we avoid deception? Well, self-deception and any kind of deception, and that is by knowing the Word of God. We need to be continually checking ourselves against what God's Word says. There's a danger of just relying on our own estimation, our own thought, our own viewpoint about our own particular spiritual standing in God. Our judgment might be wrong unless we are looking at the statutes of the absolute judge, the God of all truth. And so in love and in concern, I'm presenting this message because this is something that everyone needs to take heed. Lest if he thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. And let me just share now Psalm 49, and I'm going to be reading the King James, verses 12 through 15. "Nevertheless, man being in honor," that other verse I shared, translation, "man in honor and understandeth not, is like the beasts that perish. this their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So there is a danger that we can, in ignorance and in self-deception, walk in the way of the wicked. I'm going to be sharing many, many scriptures with you this week, and many of these scriptures are addressed not to the unsaved, not to the totally perverse, wicked, and ungodly, but those that have known God, those that have walked with God, those that have are called Israel, for example, when I read Old Testament scriptures, or even under the New Covenant, there are those that name the name of Christ, and yet they're not bearing forth the fruits of righteousness. So, having said that, let me just give you an overview of what we're going to be sharing. There are three areas of self-deception that I'd like to share with you, and I'm going to not give my opinion, but I've substantiate with the Word of God, which is the natural result of certain thoughts and actions. So there's three areas. One is attitudes that we have toward ourselves, and in that area, in that general area, there's the matter of self-esteem, conceit, sanctimony, or hypocrisy. Then there's the second general area, is our attitudes toward material possessions. And thirdly, there are the deceptions of the heart, which are a result of ignorance or misunderstanding God's word. And so I pray that you'll be able to just bear with me, stay with me, because these are important scriptures. I'm responsible before the Lord, not just to preach encouraging and comforting words. These are all encouraging and comforting because God doesn't have any sons that he doesn't chasten. And he convicts us, he chastens us. Why? Not with some horrendous sickness or disease, but by the word of God. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Amen. So having said that, let us look at the first area of self-deception, and that is attitudes toward ourself. That involves the ego of man. The first area I'd like to share with you is the characteristic, if you will, of self-esteem. Now, that definition is a confidence or satisfaction in oneself. Now, let me begin by saying, first of all, self-esteem. We need to have a healthy, good self-esteem about ourselves. Who we are, realizing we're a child of God, we're made in the image of God, and we must have not a negative self-image. I'm not talking about that, but self-esteem as it relates to our perception of our spiritual condition. This is where the danger falls, because it's only by the Word of God we can judge where we're at spiritually. Let me share some scriptures. Psalm 36:2, "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful." Proverbs 20:6 declare, "Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And 2 Corinthians 10:12, this is the New International Version I'm sharing, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." One of the dangers of self-esteem is the deception that our own ways are right. Our attitudes, our opinions, our thoughts, every thought needs to be brought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. So if any of our opinions, how we treasure them, we don't want anyone to come against our opinions or what we think. But beloved, unless our thoughts, unless our opinions, unless our moral and ethical stand is in accord and aligns with the Word of God, simply, I don't care if you name the name of Christ, you're wrong. It's just that simple. So let me share another scripture. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, But he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. And I'm going to be sharing some godly counsel with you this week from the Word of God. Now, so there's self-esteem, and also there's another area involving our ego where we can be self-deceived, walk in self-deception, and that is conceit. Now, what is conceit? It's an excessive appreciation of one's own worth or virtue. Let's look at some scripture. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 3 says, For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We think of the Pharisee who stood and prayed, thanking God he was not like other men who were extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or like the publican. Sometimes because of the blessings of God, one can be deluded into thinking that these entitle us to heaven. These privileges that God gives to us, well, beloved, let me give an example. In Matthew 3:9, John was saying to the Pharisees, these were the children of God, the chosen people. What did John say to them? And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to bring up children unto Abraham. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Amen. That's what we need to do. Well, my time is coming to a close, and I'm going to stop here, but we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast, and I do pray that you'll be able to have time in your schedule to join me. I'd like to share a portion of a letter from a sister writing from Kansas City, Missouri, and she writes, Dear Pastor Judith, you are such a blessing. Your letter and encouragement from the Lord so fit my present situation. I have been so weary, physically, emotionally, just drained, but your letter encouraged me to turn my eyes again to Jesus and cast on Him my burdens. I pray things are going well for you. I'm so excited to read your reports of all that God is doing there. Did you ever imagine even 5 or 6 years ago what you're doing today and all the Lord is able to accomplish through your willing heart? I'm in awe and so grateful to be able to be at least a small part. Many, many blessings to you, dear Pastor Judith, and to UCM. In His strong love, a sister and partner writing from Kansas City, Missouri. Praise God. Well, I invite you to become part of our spiritual family. If you need the support of encouraging prayer and an agreement, you will have that, and I'll send back to you a blessing by my ministry of correspondence. Until tomorrow, I love you. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. Until then, may God's best forever be yours.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.